It makes me feel any better. My dog pissed on my Christmas tree.
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course.
He's like, this is my new bathroom. Thanks, Dad. My Christmas present. I don't have to go outside anymore. You brought the bathroom here.
Rated NA, the podcast for nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 86, and this is the last one of the year, guys.
Hooray! We made it.
One more year. So this is like 2+ years now, two and some months, right?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So much has changed.
We're totally pro now, you guys.
And I learned while looking up my top five list, this is Hillary's 31st podcast.
Yay!
What?
Wow.
You started at number 55.
Congratulations, awesome. Hillary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yay.
We should interview you and see how much you hate us now.
Yeah.
Today on the podcast, we have Hillary hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Hi, guys.
Special guest.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Yeah.
Our pleasure.
All right.
It's like Chick-fil-A.
So what am I here to plug?
Man, don't
blow it.
Yeah. Every time.
Oh,
you said plug.
I know.
Let's do the rundown.
So this week on the rundown, we are talking. We're not on the rundown. No,
this is
week,
the podcast.
This week on the podcast, we are talking about Google and some stuff going down between them and Windows. We're talking about the implosion or explosion at THQ, and we are talking about Amazon ordering some new TV shows for its streaming service, comedies to be specific. We've got reviews of the new Windows Phone, Middle Manager of Justice, the new game from Double Fine, and Faster Than Light, the punishing space game that Scott's been playing as soon as this podcast started, pretty much.
Yes.
And then we're all going to talk about our top, numbers of things that we did this year, and we asked you guys what your top five was, and you're going to tell us. So
it's going to be an episode of reflection.
Aww.
Reflection. Is a reflection usually like somber though? I feel like this will be like
this is a positive. This is a happy reflection.
This is like Monster and caffeine fueled.
You know the thing I totally hate about recaps of the year is when they do the in memoriam ones and then they play like the sad sack music and then they show all the stars that died. I really hate that.
Okay, yeah.
We won't do that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
All right, let's not. Let's make a vow to each other to not do that.
Show the pictures.
I think
we are an audio podcast.
From what I understand,
our last podcast was
plenty sentimental in episode 85. So I think we've got our bases covered.
Yeah.
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 It's true.
Yeah.
So let's get crazy.
So Ash, what are you doing? What did you do this week, Ash?
This week, woo, it has been so much fun. Let me tell you. No, okay, so I guess the only thing of merit that I did this week is I went Christmas shopping in a very, like, totally future way. I put on pajamas, and my wife and I sat on the couch, and we put on a digital fireplace that had, like Casio keyboard music. It's actually on Netflix now. You can get it on Netflix streaming.
Wow.
It's called Firelog. So we did Netflix streaming Firelog, and then we got out the old laptop and we went Christmas shopping for like 3 hours and got most of our shopping done. And it was awesome because a lot of pressure was relieved, and now stuff's just popping up, at the house, and I don't have to go out and deal with the savages called humans out on Earth. But other than that, I haven't gotten a chance to play too many games. I have played a bit of Middle Manager of Justice, which is a lot of fun. The new iOS game from Double Fine, which definitely feels like a Double Fine game. And that feels good. And what else? I watched some documentaries, watched one on Rasputin, watched one on Alexander the Great, doing my thing.
Awesome.
How about you guys?
How about you, Hillary? You all moved in?
Sort of. I've been unpacking, which is, so much fun. Getting internet set up. Hooray. So I'm no longer in my parents' basement.
Ooh.
And let's see what else. I watched an episode of Downton Abbey, the new season, because I work for a Swedish company, so I can VPN into Sweden. Yay.
Oh, wow.
And that's about it. Exciting times.
Man.
Are you going to put your Christmas tree back up?
No.
Oh, come on.
Oh, actually, something cool that I did do this week. I'm doing some project work for BioWare, so I actually got to go to EA headquarters and kind of.
Yours?
Yeah, and got to like, you know, sit in a real cubicle and like
let you
talk to real people.
Go inside of rooms. They
basically I got a badge.
Around. You got a badge?
What?
Yeah.
I got a sticker that said scrub on it.
You're a loser.
Yeah. You're not a loser, but I got a badge.
Thanks.
That's pretty cool.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, fun times.
Man.
What about you, Scott?
Oh, let's see. So, I don't know. This week has been, again, busy at work. I played some Dance Central 3 because that's still my jam. I'm going to talk about a little bit later. I picked up this game Faster Than Light during a Steam sale, and holy crap.
Is it good?
Productivity destroyed, and we'll talk a little. You know, we'll talk more about it later in the reviews. But having just played that game literally 10 minutes ago, I really can't even remember what I did with the rest of the week. So if that's any indication to you, then there you go. I'm just happy that we're at the end of this week and the holidays are coming up. So
you're making me want to download it right now.
I can't wait to tell Ash about his heroic character that you have in the game.
Oh my God! Yeah, I have a story to tell you about the game. So that'll be good.
Great.
All right, Matt, what's going on?
Some disfigured mutant called like Chodo.
No,
it's named after Chodo Ash.
No, it's quite heroic, and I'll tell you about it a little bit later. Thanks. That's what we call a tease in the business.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tune into the end of the podcast.
He showed us right above his nip. So, Scott, since you asked and no one else did.
And we totally have not been talking for the past half hour. So
I know.
I have no idea what you've been doing.
Scott and I have shared quite a bit this week. Whatever that meant. I got a little sick. I got the plague right now, so I might sound worse than I usually do. But other than that, I got my new phone, and I've been playing with that and getting it all set up. And we're going to talk about that later and some of the fun trials and tribulations of owning a non-iPhone. And what else? I played some more Halo 4. I finally got to play...
We played Spartan Ops
with you
guys. Yeah, we did last week. Together.
What?
That was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Get hooked up, Hillary. Get your Halo 4. Let's go.
Derek, the pilot, played for you.
Played the role of Hillary. The role of Hillary was played by DOP.
Yeah. Derek, the pilot.
Nice.
And that's about it.
I actually have my Xbox set up now.
Perfect.
So
excellent.
I'm ready to go.
Is sharing a PlayStation login a thing? Because we should all do that if that's a thing. I don't know if that's a thing or not.
Yeah, I have. That's
what I have to tell. Quick story.
Okay.
More PlayStation fun. So Saturday after, or maybe it was Sunday. No, it was Saturday, I think, after we played Halo and all that. I was like, Melissa had to work that night. So I was like, I'm going to have a Matt date. I'm gonna go get a steak. I'm gonna cook up a steak. I'm gonna get a Blu-ray at Best Buy, and I'm gonna like fucking veg out and watch something awesome on Blu-ray. It'll be my first Blu-ray that I've watched on the PS3. You know, blah blah blah. So I go, I get my steak, I get X-Men First Class and V for Vendetta because they're both on sale, and I was like, that's a good little combo.
Pretty solid, yeah.
I get home and I start to set up, like, I got, like, myself some, you know, it was, like, pepperoni sticks, too, that you, like, cut up and put on bread and eat. It was, like, a total man night. That's all I wanted. So I was eating my, you know, pepperoni stick or whatever, and I'm just trying to give Ash jokes, by the way. I was eating my pepperoni stick, and I put in V for Vendetta, because I was like, well, while I'm making dinner, I don't want to watch X-Men First Class, because I want to be able to, I haven't seen it yet, so I still want to actually watch that. I put in V for Vendetta, hit play, and it spins, screen goes black, and it says invalid format.
Heyo.
What? I'm like, invalid format. So I turn it off, I pull the disc out, I look at it, I'm like, everything's all right. I put it back in, I hit play again, invalid format. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I get out the Avengers, which I have on Blu-ray. I'm like, I know this will work, you know, because the V for Vendetta was one of those cheap. It was like $7 Blu-ray discs. I was like, maybe it's just something weird with PlayStation. I don't know. So I put in the Avengers, invalid format. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I like Google it, and they're like, oh, sometimes PlayStation doesn't automatically recognize your TV output, so you need to like manually tell it.
Wow.
Okay, that's weird. So I go into the settings and I say 1080p. It goes black, it fuzzes for a second, it comes back, invalid format. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And this is what happened. Remember how I said you didn't get it, or I told you guys off the podcast that you don't get an HDMI cable with the PlayStation?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You get shitty old RCA cables?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, if you plug in the RCA cables when you first turn on your PlayStation will then only recognize itself at 480p. It'll or 480i or whatever shitty ass resolution it is. What you have to do, in like the most ridiculous thing ever, you have to completely power down your PlayStation, like unplug it from the wall, plug it back in, hold the power button down for 7 seconds, wait for it to recycle, and
then you have to blow into the slot too.
Yeah, I mean, what the all I could think was like, you know, thank God I'm like moderately tech savvy that I can like go on Google and figure this out and fix it. But good Lord, like if that had been like my mom or
somebody's
that,
parents may have thrown that in the garbage.
Yeah, she would just throw it away. She'd be like, I guess it doesn't play Blu-rays, and just been like done with it.
And yeah. Like, wow.
And I can't understand how they suck at making interfaces and things so bad when they make such like a nice machine at the end of it. Because it plays everything that looks gorgeous
yeah.
on it.
Yeah,
you
once
know?
A game is actually functioning
yeah in the system and running
yeah it looks great, but like actually getting a game to play or like
god
you know, updating the firmware is like basically like you know getting shot at.
It feels like I keep saying it, but it feels like I'm running a Linux box in my living room and I have to like fucking manually do everything on it whenever I want to do anything. It just it was so obnoxious, and it took my entire night. It ruined almost the entire night, but then I put on the Avengers and I watched the Avengers, and it still holds up, guys. Still holds up.
And it was so your date turned out okay?
It turned out all right.
Did you put out? That's the question.
No. I live with my sister-in-law, so she was sitting.
Oh, awkward. So,
yeah. That would be really awkward if you put out with her there.
I did not. she did what we call
you'd be like,
movies
you'd be like,
where
just
she
look
did,
away. Jenna, just look away.
No.
Just cover your eyes.
Kids these days watch movies while watching Instagram on their phone at the exact same time, and I don't.
Oh, so she didn't even know.
No, she doesn't know what's going on.
I don't know. All right, let's get out of here. Let's do the news, guys. Let's get out of the beginning part.
Let's go for it.
News.
Tell us about Windows Phone, though you have news and a review.
This is only pertinent to me and whatever other supposedly 4 or 5 million people that bought a Windows 8 phone. Which it would be nice if that number's right. But Google announced this past weekend they're doing something called winter cleaning. And one of the items that they're cleaning out is something called Exchange Active Sync. And they're getting rid of it. And what that means, in a non-techie term, is that if you have a Windows phone, and only Windows phone, because they're supporting other things that support the iPhone, you will no longer be able to sync up your Google accounts to your Outlook and your Windows phone. It won't work anymore. So why Google's doing this, I can only assume because they don't want a third competitor in the market. And they're pretty much saying to people, like, fine, go to get a Windows phone. You just won't use Google anymore at all.
Yeah, what's up with that?
They're still going to support something called CardDAV and CalDAV, which is like how you can sync calendars and contacts for your iPhone. But they're literally dropping all support for Windows Phone.
Did they say why or why you think they're doing this?
They said they just want to. They're cleaning it out, Scott. That's
sure.
why. Out. No yeah. reason. They usually do like spring cleanings every year. And what they're usually for is to cancel off stuff that is like Wave got canceled in a spring. Like stuff that's not getting used that they have.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're just shutting and they're still supporting it for paying customers to their business apps. So like we here at Nerd Appropriate use Google for our mail, our email and our docs and all that stuff. If we were to pay, I think it's like $5 a user, we would still get Exchange Active Sync. But anybody with just a regular old Gmail account won't. And that's going to happen as of January 30th.
Why can't everybody just get along?
I don't know. It pisses me off because the reason I liked Google previously was that they were just kind of open and really care what platform you're on. That was the point of them. You could get on any phone or any computer and have all your stuff and have it be there. So this kind of like personal feeling pissing contest between them and Microsoft is just annoying to me as a user.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that was just a quick update for you, for anybody out there that uses a Windows phone or any kind of Exchange Active Sync support with Google. It will be gone as of January 31st.
Bummer. Oof.
That is a bummer.
Yeah. I'll move on. I'll be fine, guys. Don't worry.
Will it be okay?
I think I'll be all right.
It was funny though, last week, like Hillary and Ashley Birch had like these stories of like horror and like near death, like explosions and spinning cars, and you're like, my phone sucks. Yeah. I love the parallels. It was amazing.
I've had plenty of near death experiences, but right now I was pissed because my phone wasn't here and I wanted it, man.
I thought it was funny. It was podcast gold.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, okay, I have something. I have a first world problem for you. So I know for sure I'm getting The Walking Dead for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. The hard copy?
Yeah, because I've been waiting for that one, you know?
Cool.
And I have to wait like a few more days. It's killing me. I just want to play it.
Womp womp.
It's coming. No. It's coming. They were back. They were backlogged on the old Amazon.
Oh, no, I'm getting it from my parents.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's awesome. Man.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That is, it's a hell of a gift.
Yeah, so but
let's talk about some. Let's talk about some sad, really sad stuff that actually did bum me out, and that's THQ, publisher of video games. Hopefully, those listening know that. But THQ, of course, made games like not made games, but published games like Saints Row the Third and the Darksiders series,
Company
Heroes, and Homefront. Space Marine this year. They made a lot of really, or published a lot of really excellent games. So they had a couple bad years, but they've been around forever. Like, I honestly remember this publisher from when I was a little kid, like from the NES days. So they have been around for a very, very, very long time. But today they actually, and today being, spoiler alert, December 20th, the day before the apocalypse.
Oh yeah.
They we'll filed see. Chapter 11 bankruptcy today. And one interesting thing about it is in filing Chapter 11, they had to reveal like what games they had in the works, or what games, I guess, the studios that the studios under them are working on. And a lot of these games are unannounced. So games like Saints Row 4 just kind of got leaked that it is in the works. We already kind of knew that. Company Heroes 2, what else? A new project from Vigil, the makers of Darkseid, something called Crawler. There's a whole bunch of games kind of floating around the internet that THQ, you know, were in the process of publishing. But it is kind of sad, you know, when things like this happen.
So are they going away completely, or are they selling their assets to somebody else, or is someone else going to get these games?
Neither yet.
Yeah, it's kind of a work in progress. We don't really know exactly what's going to happen yet, but the idea is that it's going to be a restructuring of the company. So the worst case scenario would be that THQ just completely folds, and you know, they can't find the money to, you know, pay all these developers, and then everything just kind of falls apart, and all these development teams would have to find new publishers. That's kind of the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is, you know, they do find a way to make it work after filing Chapter 11, and they can still pay all the developers and get these games out. But I think the problem, I mean, and this is just me being a complete layman and not fully understanding how this exactly works, but I think the real problem is the swelling costs of these big AAA titles, and the fact that if they underperform, and many, many, many of them underperform, you know, and then it spells doom for a company. Like, while Darksiders 2, it did okay, it didn't do as well as it should have, and it ended up hurting the company. So if something is projected to sell something like, 2.5 million copies, right? And it only sells 1.5 million copies, while it may sound amazing to sell 1.5 million copies of a game, you still lost. You know what I mean? You didn't make as much as you should have, and that ends up kind of coming back to bite the publisher in the ass.
Right.
It's kind of like what happened to Kingdoms of Amalur. They were cockening.
Yeah.
So sad.
I think this is a little different than that, because that was pretty sudden and just kind of like, oh, we're done. Like,
yeah, and that was one studio, you know.
Yeah, it was one studio. This is, according to Forbes, they're saying that they're not going to reduce their workforce at all during the Chapter 11. So they're... THQ is kind of just saying, look, what we're trying to do is shift our debt to some new creditors, figure out how to get everybody kind of taken care of, get some new people involved with investing, and see how we can go from there, which is part of the reorganization. And if that can all happen within, I think it's a month or 2 months, then they can kind of figure this stuff out and make it through this kind of storm. If not, that's when they'll start selling pieces off or dropping support for certain things. And you might see games getting shifted to different publishers, or who knows what might actually happen at that point.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, that's kind of the bit of the sad news. And we'll definitely keep you guys up to date with what we hear about THQ, because I'm a fan of a lot of their IPs. I really loved Space Marine, and I really, really enjoy Saints Row, and really like Company Heroes a lot. So it's a shame when real, like, solid quality games can't even make it, you know, in the world today, that you have to sell, you know, 5 million copies.
You know what? You know what gets put in question with this, though, is Stick of Truth, the South Park.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
I know, but that's a THQ published game.
Going to be in kind of limbo at the moment. They're saying the games that are pipelined are still going to come, but who knows? So we'll see. Hopefully it works out, because I agree with you, Ash. I think it's a, you know, you hear all the, it's one of the good things, one of the good companies out there, I think, that puts out good stuff, and you rarely hear negative things. So
yeah. Yeah.
Next up, we've got Amazon, who, don't forget, has a streaming. Does anybody use their streaming digital service?
Oh, yeah. Totally
you do?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It feels like an exact duplicate of Netflix to me. I've never found something on Amazon that I don't see on Netflix.
I mean, I use it. Actually, I noticed that Stargate moved from Netflix to Amazon Instant on demand. And okay. I think Amazon's a good place to buy video and then be able to watch it on your TV.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Actually, I rent stuff on Amazon all the time. I don't buy too often, but yeah. So they have put down some money to get some new pilots so they can have original content on their streaming service. And the first six that were announced here are comedies, almost comedies.
Please.
I'll run through these really quick for you guys. You can tell me if they sound good or horrible. Ready? First one's called Alpha House. Written by Academy Award nominee and Pulitzer Prize winner Gary Trudeau from Doonesbury. Alpha House follows four senators who live together in a rented house in Washington, D.C.
I think it sounds hilarious.
Really?
All right.
I just pictured like a bunch of old white dudes like complaining about politics, and it made me laugh.
Number two is called Browsers. It's written by 12-time Emmy-winning comedy writer David Yaverbaum, from The Daily Show, and to be directed by Don Scardino from 30 Rock. Browsers is a musical comedy set in a contemporary Manhattan that follows four young people as they start their first jobs at a news website.
Sure.
All right.
Really?
Man, Hillary is not impressed.
I mean, the credentials are there. I mean, God, it's like every tagline is like title, award.
Yeah. Number three, Dark Minions. Written by Big Bang Theory co-stars Kevin Sussman and Ross Bowie, Dark Minions is an animated workplace series about two slackers just trying to make a paycheck working in an intergalactic warship. The pilot,
I totally would buy that.
The pilot will be produced by Principato Young from Reno 911.
I'm in.
You lost me at Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, they lost me at Big Bang Theory.
You lost me at animated.
Yeah.
Really? But Spaceship.
I like spaceship.
But Spaceship.
No, you're right. And of course, I'll look at it because it's Spaceship, but much beyond that, then I'm going to be very skeptical.
All right, number four, The Onion Presents the News. The Onion Presents the News is a smart, fast-paced, scripted comedy set behind the scenes of the Onion News Network that shows just how far journalists will go to stay at the top of their game. The Onion Presents the News is from The Onion's Will Graham and Dan Merck.
Love it.
Sold.
This actually sounds kind of cool because it's going to be a fake show about fake news,
like Newsroom, but fake.
But I thought The Onion already had a show on like Comedy Central or something.
They have a news show. This is their behind the scenes news show. This is like it's going to show the lives of the people who make The Onion news. But I would assume it's all scripted.
It's going to be scripted. Yeah.
Oh, this one's written for Ash. You ready?
Uh oh.
Supernatural. Supernatural is an animated comedy series about two outspoken divas who are humanity's last line of defense against the supernatural when they're not working at the mall. The series, written by Lily Sparks, Price Peterson, and Ryan Sandoval, will be produced by Jason Mikolaff from Butter and Kristen Schaal from The Daily Show. Finally, this is the last hope for them to have a huge hit here. It's called Those Who Can't. Written by
Andrew, I like that already.
Written by Andrew Overdale, Adam Clayton Holland, and Benjamin Roy, who were discovered through Amazon Studios' online open door process. Those Who Can't is a comedy about three juvenile misfit teachers who are just as immature, if not more so, than the students they teach.
I love it.
No, oh, man.
A little close to home.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. but you know, it gives us hope. If we ever wanted to like do something creative, I think we could get something sold, guys. I really think. I mean, you know, if that's what's happening right now in the world, I think we got it.
It's funny because YouTube put out their 2012 in review video. Did you guys see that?
No.
It's basically like all the video memes from 2012, like Gangnam Style and, you know, all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan and I were talking. We were IMing each other while we were watching it. And I just was like, if YouTube existed when I was in high school, like, I feel like I would have already sold a show by now. Like, this is the shit we did anyways. Like, we all talked mm-hmm. about it. Like, Scott and Ryan actually were in a video thing. Like, they produced comedy videos all the time, and then me and my friend Adam and Scott would always hang out and throw ideas around and joke around. I'm like,
we just didn't have a place to upload them.
Yeah, we had no outlet for that stuff. It was like impossible to do in 1995 or six, but good Lord, now.
Yeah.
Kids these days
don't understand how good they have it.
Hey, P.S.
It's like that commercial. It's like that commercial for wireless cable box from UVerse. And it's like the kid and the grandpa, and the grandpa's like, I'm trying to tell you. I love that.
I've never seen it. Might be a California
thing. Oh, it's hilarious. It might be a California thing.
Yeah.
We get the good commercials.
We don't even have TV in the East Coast.
If Amazon wants to pick up a TV show, what about, you know, stuff that is already out there, like a girl and her brother discuss video games and make fun of one another? Like, what, you know, come on, there's already stuff that's out there that probably is deserving of television, or Amazon television, as it were.
Do you know their series has over 18 million views?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
They've done okay.
It's an instant audience, but what do we know?
Yeah. We don't know anything. That's why we have a podcast.
Well, I'm thinking we need to do some videos. Yeah.
Yeah, if we can ever figure out how to get into our nerd appropriate YouTube account.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's actually true.
It's an enigma wrapped inside of Pandora's box.
We have one, and we've uploaded videos to it before, and we have no idea how to get it.
It's a mystery.
Yeah.
What is wrong with us?
Oh, boy. Well, why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and do some reviews, and then we'll start getting listy.
Let's do it to it, brother.
All right.
Survive the apocalypse. All right. We're back with some reviews. And of course, I've been playing Middle Manager of Justice, the new iOS title from Double Fine, which is 100% free and 100% fun. Review over.
Ding, 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 ding.
No, in all seriousness, it's awesome. It's a strange sort of, okay. Let me try and explain this. You play a guy that looks remarkably like Leisure Suit Larry, so you're like a middle-aged, balding man, and you are sort of like the Jarvis of a superhero team, so you do all of like the number crunching and like ironing of the costumes and all that kind of stuff, but you're also kind of building a superhero team from the ground up, so you hire all the heroes from a big roster of heroes, and then you get this big map, and you send them out on missions, and they have to fight thugs and things like that, but you have to kind of plan... when they sleep, when they train, what you equip them with. So there's a lot of like team building and micromanaging that goes along with the game, but it's all done with like Double Fine sense of humor. So there's a lot to it. I was actually really impressed with, with how much there is to do. A great example would be like, let's say you recruit your first hero and they level up just like in, most games with most RPG style games. So they're going to level up the more they fight. If they get defeated in battle, they have to go rest. And so you're going to have to like help build the base that they live in so they have more beds to sleep in and increase your roster. So it's you're basically fighting the clock the whole time, having your heroes train and having them get new costumes and gear. And it's just awesome. I'm really, really loving it. And I guess the only way they make money on this is there's a microtransaction if you want to kind of fast forward the process because everything is timed. So the leveling process can be a little bit slow. If you want to cheat the thing, you can cheat the thing. If you want to cheat the process of leveling, you can, I guess, buy levels and things of that nature.
Oh.
But it's awesome. I really recommend it, especially if you're looking for a fun game to kill time. Middle Manager of Justice.
That's awesome.
And then
cool.
I wanted to add to this quickly, since we're talking about Double Fine, that there's a game, on your Xbox, if you are a Kinect owner, there is a Kinect Central thing that I think is normally on the main hub of Xbox. And a lot of times they just release games for free. So right now, Kinect Party is free right now, which is a Double Fine game. And all it really is like, it's a thing that you would turn on at a party and people can like walk in front of the TV and the TV just does like crazy things. And it's like these quick 30-second games and stuff that you play. And it uses the camera and like makes people look silly. And it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that's not they did a movie theater one too.
It's
right?
Like, yeah, it is like Happy Action Theater, but okay. It's sort of the next evolution of that.
Cool. Awesome.
But you can get it for free right now and get those achievements.
Hell yeah. Speaking of achievements, Scott.
Yes.
I got a new Windows phone.
Hey-o.
And
all of your friends love it.
Oh, Jesus. So, I got a Windows phone and I work in web development. And the immediate response at work was, why'd you get a Windows phone? And I said, well, because I wanted one. I wanted something different. And they're like, well, but I have an iPhone and iPhones are awesome. And I'm like, that's great. I'm like, that's cool. And that's, I understand they're good. My wife has one. I enjoy an iPhone on occasion. Oh, yeah. Well, what does your Windows phone do? I don't know. It plays games pretty cool. Yeah, well, I've got more games. You're like, that's fine. I'm not really worried about how many games you have. I'm like, the camera's pretty decent. It's pretty fast. How fast? Take a picture. See, mine's way faster. That's good.
Seriously? I'm not really worried.
I am dead serious. I am 100%. I was telling Scott, that was kind of an overview of what my week was like, but I was telling Scott real to life stories that were happening to me all week long. And, it's just mind-blowing. I don't understand the reaction to me not wanting an iPhone, why it's not okay with everybody. But and I think it's most egregious because it's a Windows phone, like not another Android or something. I think Android's been accepted at this point, so you can get Android phones and not piss off the world. But that is neither here nor there on the phone. The kind of quick overview is that it's pretty awesome. It's a really solid. I have the HTC 8X. So it doesn't have.
What does that stand for?
8X, eight times the awesome.
Good answer.
Thank you. It doesn't have the awesome camera that's in the Lumia, which is what I think was one of the big features for that flagship phone they put out. But what it does have is a really, really nice build, like a really big, like full screen kind of on it. The bevel's really small, so it looks really nice, and it kind of wraps around. It's all very rounded. So it feels really good in your hand. It's super light. I would say pretty equivalent if you've held an iPhone 5. It's maybe within like an ounce or two of the iPhone 5. So it's pretty light. But the most amazing stuff on this is this start screen. So I think everybody's kind of familiar with the start screen now with Windows 8 and with even with the Surface moderately. You pin stuff to it. You can kind of build quick access to it. But what happens on your phone that becomes really amazing is that you can kind of build these little hubs of places for things. So like I have a hub on here called NA, and it's you guys. So I have a group that's Ash and Hillary and Scott, and when I open it up, it kind of gives me a quick overview of who's in the group, and I can quickly text or email everyone right from there. And then if I scroll over, it'll say what's new, and it actually aggregates all of the stuff from Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google accounts, like email accounts, into this one screen. So like if you guys have emailed me recently or somebody posted something to Facebook, if somebody liked something on Nerd Appropriate, I get all of that on this one screen. It kind of all goes through this one little hub. And then it also shares out all of our photos together. So it'll say like any photos that we've all been taking all show up in the kind of photo pane of this hub. So it's really quick access to stuff. And I have one for like the band we were in history. And then I have a family one too. And it's like groupings of people that I look to often or talk to a lot, you know. And then I have one for Melissa. And then the other good stuff is the apps, while are pretty thin, they're getting a lot better. There's a lot more out there. It's still missing. Yeah, I think the most notable app missing is probably Instagram, which is what everybody wants. That is not on Windows Phone at this point.
It's kind of like the same thing with the Surface and the Windows app market. It's just, it's still evolving. It's still developing.
It's still, yeah. And
what is it, like 5 years behind, you know, like
it's, iOS? Yeah, it's 4 years behind. They did say they have something like 100,000 apps in the marketplace, and they have 47 of the top 50 from iOS. So it's not like there's nothing in there. It's just not quite as evolved as the iOS or even the Android market at this point.
But I feel like you got to be confident that it's going to get there eventually, you know?
I mean, I own the G1 for Android, so I'm probably not the best point of view on that. If, right. if you have things that you need and you must have the iPhone, then, you know, by all means, get the iPhone. This is not going to do it for you. But if you're looking for something new and different, this is kind of awesome. The two things that are major with it that are very cool is the Xbox integration. So Xbox with music and videos, I have an Xbox Music account, which is like $10 a month, and I can download anything I want to download or stream anything I want to stream. I can use their kind of smart DJ thing where I can pick a band and have it'll put together playlists of, you know, like Pandora type stuff. Mm-hmm. What's amazing about it is that when I listen to, like, what's the last thing I listened to? Let me admit it. I was listening to Brand New, The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me, and when I finished listening to it, or when I finished, got off the train, I came home and it was on my Xbox as the last thing that I listened to. So it's like, cool. It's starting to kind of integrate all of the Xbox or the Microsoft universes, you know, together. And then the Xbox Games Hub is really awesome too. It is getting there in the games. The games are pretty thin still, but it's got the big ones. It's got Angry Birds. What else does it have? Contra Jour, which is on iOS, I believe. Few other ones. It's got some of the bigger ones, but it's a little thin. It's still building out. So hopefully that's what I really want to see, is them getting big name developers behind the platform and starting to build Xbox games for the phone. Because of course, when it says Xbox Live, you earn achievements.
That's right. It'll come in time, man. It'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what she said.
Hey-o.
Oh, no.
This is pretty awesome. On other platforms, it's got all the avatar stuff that you'd want to do on there if you want to do that kind of stuff. But overall, it is a fast phone. I really like the Outlook email. Office on, if you want Office on a phone, I've used the Office stuff on Android before, and nothing even comes remotely close to Office on Windows Phone. It is done really well. It's all integrated with SkyDrive. So you can kind of share up to the cloud and save things back and forth, and you can create like full-on Excel sheets and Word documents straight up on the phone, which is pretty cool. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. IE10 is good. It's fast. It's everything you kind of need in a browser. It's missing a couple things, but I heard there's an update coming that give them to you, which is, I think, like I don't remember what it was. It says there's a couple points coming to IE10 that were in Chrome for the browser.
So what's the verdict? You happy? So far, so good? Looking for more? What do you think?
And other than maybe two minor hiccups. So that was the two big negatives that I wanted to talk about are, you know, the app thing is true. So if you need the apps, they're not there yet. You might either wait or, you know, get something else for right now. If you really dig into Windows Phone, then go ahead and get it and just know that you're not going to have Instagram for, you know, probably a few months.
Sure.
The other big negative is there's some weird non-integration stuff going on with things that you would think would be integrated, namely Skype, which is owned by Microsoft. First of all, it actually is buggy. I downloaded it, had it running on my phone for 2 days, and then my email and my contacts stopped syncing. Like, it just wouldn't work anymore. And I thought it was because I had like a ridiculous amount of contacts in my list that I had yet to clean out. And then it kept doing it, and I went online and looked and found out that whatever version of Skype's currently there right now bugs out and screws up your syncing, and then your phone just kind of constantly syncs forever until it dies. So I uninstalled it, restarted it, and everything was fine. But what's weird about it is it's only integrated slightly. It's not like as well as like FaceTime or something like that you see with iPhone. It's just kind of there. Like, it's like you can use Skype, but it kind of bumps you out of whatever you're doing. If you're looking at contacts and you hit, you know, video chat, it like reopens Skype and kind of sends you to the main window instead of just like Skype calling that person. You know, it's just weirdly not integrated for being a Microsoft product. I would think it would have been a lot tighter in there, but it doesn't seem like it. So that's probably the biggest negative. Just some weird. And SkyDrive is really well integrated in certain places and not in others. So that's probably about it, is just, you know, lack of apps, and they need to get better with their internal integration with some of the products they own. But I otherwise am super happy. The battery on this thing lasts pretty long. Like, I'll get a full day of regular use, but then if your phone's starting to die, it actually has a really awesome thing called battery saver mode, which Android kind of had, but it was a pain. This one will automatically click on when it hits below a certain percent, and then will automatically turn off when you plug it into a charger. And it really saves it. Like, my phone started to die this morning at like 7 a.m. I hadn't plugged it in, and I turned it on. It was like at 8%, and I didn't plug it in until 5 p.m. And it was fine all day long on an 8% battery. So that's about it. Vert is,
so all in all, your phone is not a phony.
All in all, it's a good phone. I would highly recommend the 8X from HTC, and I would assume the Lumia 920. They're super cheap right now. I got mine for $100, and I think the others are going for like $50 on AT&T and stuff. So, you know, if you want to dive into something, if you want access to Xbox, if Xbox integration is a big deal to you, this has it. I'm happy. I have not regretted my decision yet. So cool. I guess we'll check back in months or something and see what I feel like. But
sure,
so far so good.
Yeah, and I'm still liking the Surface, so good things are coming, man.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Microsoft, who sponsors our podcast.
Yeah. Right? give us a call. Okay, so
right now, fantastic.
So let's talk about Faster Than Light for a moment. Okay, the best way that I can describe this game, after a vodka soda, is that it's kind of like a mashup.
Fantastic!
It's awesome, guys. It's kind of like if you were to maybe mash up Oregon Trail with an episode of Battlestar Galactica. Is the best way
Dude,
that I can.
Whoa, hold on a second.
You can't just throw that down.
I just got a fucking erection. What do you, wait, wow, whoa.
It's, okay, this is what Faster Than Light is. It's pretty simple. You sort of micromanage a starship, and you are trying to lead your starship across the galaxy so that you can save your fleet from these rebels that are trying to destroy you, right?
Yeah.
And it's all like obviously, like Oregon Trail, it's all in 8-bit. It's all, but it's like, so it's retro styled and it's space themed, and you get a crew together and you run this ship and you encounter obstacles, and like fires break out on the ship and people like invade your ship and you have to fight them off. There's starship combat, but it's all done. Like, the gameplay is like a strategy interface. It's not like a first person shooter or any kind of like action game like that. But all the action is strategy based and managing your energy and managing your stats and upgrading your ship in a way that it's like intelligent and reasonable so that you can deal with all the different challenges that are in the game. And then the soundtrack is really good too. So what do you think? I mean, does that sound like something
incredible.
Is awesome?
It sounds great.
It's pretty awesome. I got it on Steam during a super sale, and I just can't stop playing it. It's crazy. Like, you start out with a human ship, and I guess the more you play the game, the better you do, you can unlock different layouts for your ship. You can unlock ships from different races.
And
as you travel, you can unlock Katie Sackhoff.
I don't know about that, but like as you travel across the galaxy, you could, well, you can name your crew. So when you start your game, you could just name your crew Hillary and Katie, and you guys can travel the verse together.
I don't think that's what they want to do, Scott.
Well, anyways, so you know, it's kind of fun because I just, before we started podcasting, I ran a game where, you know, I named everybody nerd appropriate people, and yeah, it was pretty cool. And I have a story of woe to tell you guys, because we were, I think we were in the second or third sector of the game, and then all of a sudden we got into this nebula, right? And four invaders boarded the ship, and they they started attacking our systems. Like, the first thing they took offline was the oxygen system. And I tried to open up all the starship doors to like vent all the oxygen out in that part of the ship to try to kill them. But then they came to the forward part of the ship, and we eventually fought them. You know, we battled them, we killed them. By that point, the oxygen system was smashed. There were fires that were breaking out on the ship. And I am sad to say, but also sort of honored to say that Ash went down for the rest of the team. he sacrificed himself by fixing the oxygen system while flames were all around him. And just as he fixed the oxygen system, he died.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
So it was very tragic, and I was quite upset about that.
Very, very true to life too. I would do that for you guys.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. So
I would burn up. Starship.
It was kind of like you know, like in Terminator 2, you kind of did one of those like, and then you died. You know, and then the building exploded. That's kind of how you went out. Yeah, you went out Miles Dyson style. Yeah,
Miles Dyson, LamazBreathing.com.
Yeah.
Hey, that's such a great movie. Don't make fun of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why we just gave a shout out to Terminator 2.
Well, the game is $7.50 right now on Steam. It's 25% off. It's usually $10, and I may or may not have just purchased it.
I'm purchasing it
right now, and hopefully it doesn't mess up my connection.
That's what I was hoping too. But I did it. I got in and out of the purchase without screwing up the connection.
For a game that is so old school and so like low key, it is so hard. I'm like, if I play, okay, there's two difficulties, easy and normal. If I play on easy, I might make it to the end. If I play on normal, I probably don't make it out of the first nebula. And I feel like I just need to learn more about the strategies in the game and like how to defeat enemies and stuff like that. But
I'm super stoked.
It's awesome. So much fun. All the little micromanagement and like moving your energy beams around and like equipping your ship with different weapons and hiring crew.
Is it literally an 8-bit, or are you exaggerating?
It's styled that way, but the game, yes, it's like an 8-bit style with like retro music. It's crazy.
Was it Space Alert ish?
I don't
Do you remember Space Alert, the board game?
I don't think so.
Space Alert. By
all right.
Okay. Well, that's fast.
We very
than light.
Quickly have to do Hillary's.
I was gonna smoothly intro us into it until you just hammered all over it, Ash.
Well, we should probably put some music in.
Hey, he just saved our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
All right, so today's Nequado is top five related for you guys, but for us, we just have our top list of the things we did this year. So first up, we have Hillary, who's got to get out the door, so let's get your answers.
Okay, so my top five things of this year are, the one is super obvious, which is Mass Effect 3. Mm-hmm. I think we understand why Mass Effect 3 is so awesome, plus the fact that it introduced multiplayer this year.
Yes,
for sure.
Which is amazing and groundbreaking, and all of us have had fun doing that. So my second one would be Dragon's Dogma.
I really liked it.
Really? I actually looked at it in the store the other day, and I just have too many games right now, so I'm going to wait until I play them all.
It's so good, and it's so innovative with the pawn system. that I absolutely loved it. And while I hate the fact that it doesn't have fast travel, pretty much the entire time I played the game, I was like having a ball. So it's a really, really fun game.
Awesome.
Number three would be Assassin's Creed 3, which is also kind of obvious. I really like the new take on history, and I love the American Revolution, so good times, and rope darts are awesome. Let's see. The fourth one would be conventions. I think we all had a lot of fun this year.
You can put conventions on the list?
List. Yeah, you remember 2 years ago, like Matt was talking about Comic-Con and like...
It's just stuff, man. Yeah. It's just things it's you did things. Or liked or whatever.
God. Yeah, the things. All the things. So I'm going to say all the conventions because I went to a bunch this year.
You did go to a lot this year. I'm jealous.
And I got to work for BioWare and I got to like hang out with cool folks and we did the Nerd Appropriate Community Night, which was fantastic.
Awesome.
So I love that. And then my fifth and final thing, and I saved the best for last, would be I joined the crew of Nerd Appropriate.
Oh, wow. We're happy to see you.
And I'm being sincere. That's awesome. Thank
you. It is awesome.
We're glad that you have become our friend.
Yes, I'm your Starbuck.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll take that. I'm going to let that one go. I'm totally going to accept that one.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
I guess that would make me like, no, Matt would be Colonel Ty. Because he's like the salty one. Scott would be, who would Scott be? I don't know if there's anyone that is. No, Scott would be Baltar. Scott.
What? Come on, man.
No. Ash, you would be Madam President.
Why? Because I have terminal diseases?
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to sort this out on a future podcast.
Wait, am I Edward James Olmos?
No, Scott is Edward James Olmos.
Oh, okay. Which one am I?
You're the Colonel Saul Ty.
Yeah, and, you're Captain.
He's Ball.
You're Captain.
He talks like a fucking pirate all the time.
Excellent.
Perfect.
That was a good list.
That was a good list.
I think it was.
We're stoked to actually hang out with you in March. So we'll actually see you again.
Yes. Hopefully, we'll actually get to see you.
I know,
I'm forcing you this time to hang out with us. Last time I was like all polite and shit, like, oh, Hillary's just busy. This time I'm like, no, we're meeting you at this time. You're going to show up.
Yeah, for sure.
I showed up for the community night, right?
You did.
And that was awesome. Yeah.
It was the best night ever.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, good.
All right.
Cool. Well, I have to run, but Merry Christmas to all of you. And
Merry Christmas to you.
Yes,
and
thank
we
you.
Will talk to you soon.
And maybe consider putting your tree back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get back in the spirit.
Do it.
Yeah.
It's like 6 or 7 boxes of ornaments. Like I don't want to do that.
Just drink some Skinny Girl vodka and make it happen. You'll feel so much better about it.
Well, I was going to tell you, if it makes you feel any better, I only have a tree that's 3 feet tall. So you should put your massive tree up. I'd be happy for you.
There you go.
Yeah.
It makes you feel any better. My dog pissed on my Christmas tree.
Oh.
My dog did that too.
Oh,
so
no.
We haven't put presents down because we don't want his presents.
You can see why they do that, right? You brought the outside inside.
Yeah. This is a great new place to piss.
It's true, right?
This bower, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
He's like, this is my new bathroom. Thanks, Dad. My Christmas present. I don't have to go outside anymore. You brought the bathroom here.
No, he's saying you go to the bathroom inside.
Yeah.
I want to too.
Jealous.
Oh, gosh.
All right, Haley. Well, have a wonderful evening and a good Christmas.
Thank you.
We'll be talking.
Cool.
Sounds good. Hope you guys survive the end of the world, too.
We'll try.
Yeah. You as well.
Try.
Awesome. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
Okay.
So who's going to go next?
Well, why don't we read some? Because
let's do some.
Are we going to read some?
Okay. Yeah.
Sure. First up is Gilberto3001, who's Jesse on Twitter. And Gilberto says...
Two times.
Mass Effect 3,
which
is, for obvious reasons, The Avengers. Was that this year?
It was this year.
Fuck. All right. The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 3. Did we already say that?
Yeah.
Again? Yeah, twice.
Yep.
And my favorite answer, starting to listen to 3 great podcasts, Rated NA, Reset Transmission,
Yay.
And Banana Punch High Command.
Yay.
Congratulations. you guys and Reset Transmission and Team Banana Punch.
Yes.
Hooray.
And thank you so much, Jesse, for those kind words. It was like super awesome to get make someone's list of joy. Normally we're like the grief list. Thanks for the headache, assholes.
It really is nice to hear that you're okay at what you do sometimes.
Yeah.
You're okay.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Since I think Ash is probably reconfiguring his list as we speak, Scott, would you like to go?
Yeah, and I was going to allow Hillary to do 10.
I know.
She had to go, so.
Time did not permit.
Can I do 10? Is that okay?
Yeah. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 7.
Okay. These aren't in any really, you know, specific particular order. And to a certain extent, I'm going to invoke the letter E on Wheel of Fortune and call that Mass Effect 3. It's like the one that they give you for free, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to put R-S-T-L-N-E on the board, and then you pick a couple other things, because we know you're going to pick E. So there you go. So at number 10, I'm going to put Elizabeth Mitchell, because she's really great on Revolution, and I really like her.
Oh.
Yeah. Number 9, The Wrecketeer.
The Wrecketeer.
Not surprising. Okay. Number 8, Jimmy Henson.
Wait, what is The Wrecketeer?
The Wrecketeer is that Kinect game that I played like
endlessly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still like it. So number 8, Jimmy Henson, new bud that we made this year, does the music for our podcast, Big Giant Circles.
Yeah.
Did the music for Puzzle Juice, did some music for Cod Blops 2. So shout out to him and thanks for everything that he does. And we really enjoy the music. Number 7, Dance Central. And I should probably say Dance Central 2 and 3 because I played them both this year and I can't stop playing them.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then number 6 is what I call new school platforming, which is there's two games that go into this list, which is Rochard, which I played early this year, and then a game called PID. And these were both like 2D platformer games that really like went above and beyond with really good music and a really great art style and kind of like sort of refreshed like a genre that has been around along as like platforming has. So that's number 6. Number 5.
I think that was much needed too.
Yeah, right? And it's just excited to see, you know, it's exciting to see these things, and I still play games like Super Mario Brothers, but now you can turn around and look at things like this or even a game like Bastion and the other game that I can't remember anymore. But that one that does time manipulation, Braid, that's the one.
Braid, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just cool to see that.
Little man going backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And P.S. Braid would have been on this list, but I think it came out in 2011.
Yeah.
Number 5, Borderlands 2, just because it's the sheer amount of time that I've spent playing this game. It must be good, and I really do like it. And to that extent, also number 4, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, because come on, I think I was probably one of the bigger...
played a lot of that game.
We played the shit out of it, and I probably crapped on that more before it came out. you know, and I really did eat a lot of crow on that one, and I'll admit to that I was super skeptical of having multiplayer component of a game that I really enjoyed as a single player narrative. So I think that's a big deal, and kudos to them for that. And they're still doing stuff with it now.
It can be done, which is great.
Yeah, it can be done, and they're still like supporting it, which I think is amazing.
Yep.
Number 3, Grimm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that I really feel like in a second season that show's really come into its own.
Oh, that's too bad. I've completely dropped off of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like one of those shows I look forward to watching every week now when it comes on. And let me tell you the best part of Grimm. So they, you know, every show does their, you know, mid-season finale to take Christmas break.
Right.
And, you know, they're off for a month or whatever. So for this particular episode, they do this thing that like clearly something, a huge deal, a really big thing in the plot is about to happen. And then they do the traditional like to be continued. And then the screen stays black for a second. And then underneath that, they put the word sorry, which I thought was hilarious. So there you go. I really like Grimm. Number 2, I'm going to say Witcher 2.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because play the crap out of that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know not a lot of people were super high on that game, but having just come off of Witcher 1 and getting into Witcher 2 and really enjoying it, I played through both storylines in the game, and I think I 100% of the game, too. So that is going to be my number two, just because of that alone, because I really liked it. And then I guess, you know, based on what Hillary said, number one has to be the Nerd Appropriate Hangout at PAX Prime, because I think that far exceeded anything that we may have expected it to be when we were trying to get it together in the first place. And it was just really cool, and it gave us an opportunity to meet, you know, like listeners and people that we interface with, and like other, you know, our friends at Reset Transmission and all that good stuff. So
a big thanks to Bethany for helping us out too.
Absolutely. So that's my top 10.
That was great.
Cool. Let's you want to get back to it?
Before we continue, so we had Mylin on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And her sister does a company called Digital Blush.
Yeah.
And she is currently taking a bunch of our pictures and making us into monsters and things like that. Well, since Scott was late with his, I kind of pulled a prank on him, and I figured I would do it on the air while we're recording.
What?
And I said, well, the one thing that Scott really wants to be is a beautiful merman.
What?
And so she quickly made you into a merman. She's going to do a real one for you, but she did this one first. I'm going to put it in the show notes. And of course, we'll put it up on the site for the readers as well and listeners as well. God. But here it comes as soon as I can figure out how to paste in here. Paste isn't working. This is dead air.
I cannot find a picture of myself. I'm having a difficult time. I looked. I promise.
There it is. Insert image. Choose image to upload.
Do you guys have a picture of me? Does anybody have a picture of me?
I'll have to.
There's just the ones on like Facebook.
I could not find anything.
There it is.
Oh my God. Oh my God. How does she do that?
That's what she does. She works her magic.
God. That is crazy.
So for all of you, this image will be somewhere in the episode notes, but for all of you who are looking, and we'll have the legit ones later on of all of us as monsters, but here's Scott as a merman.
Why am I so hairy? Oh my God.
Is that not true to life?
I guess. I mean, it looks like that particular merman has his nipples waxed from time to time.
Digital Blush on Etsy.
Oh my God! Please check it out.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Our buddy Justin Banks, who has, is he our? I would say he's probably our oldest listener.
He's got to be the longest running. Yeah.
He's got to be. We need to like do something special for this.
Didn't
gentleman.
We say this last time? And Hillary said stickers.
Cookie cake.
Yeah, Hillary said stickers. So at Midtown 583 on the old Twitter, he says number one, The Avengers. Number two, Walking Dead game and show. Number three, Borderlands 2. Number four, Dark Knight Rises. And number five, Lego Batman. Nice.
Lego Batman 2.
Lego Batman 2. Sorry, Lego Batman 2. Cool. That's a great list. I think
heard
I may
good
have
things about those Lego games, cool. Man.
He actually wrote Dark Knight Returns, but I think he meant Dark Knight Rises.
Oh yeah,
because Dark Knight Returns is a thing as well, which is also awesome. But it came out quite a long time ago, so I don't think that's what he's talking about. Who's next? Do you want me to go? You, Ash? What do you want to do?
Mine's kind of quick, actually. I don't think.
All right, let's do it.
So mine, of course, I'm going to start off with Mass Effect for obvious reasons.
So you're going one.
I have like selfish reasons as well. Obviously, the game was great, and the multiplayer was unexpectedly great. But also, we've gotten to get to know a lot of the people that worked on Mass Effect, got to talk with a lot of the voice cast, and kind of have weaseled our way into one of the most awesomestest communities I think around. And so I'm really kind of honored to just be like, you know, amongst some really awesome fans. And I love all the Mass Effect stuff that's going on, and love that they're so warm and friendly towards us. So big thanks to all those folks and all the Mass Effect fans, BioWare fans. Next on my list, of course, was The Avengers. I forgot that came out this year, but for me, you know, if anyone's been listening to this podcast for a long time, you guys are aware that I am a huge Joss Whedon fan, and I've been, you know, a fan of his since the 90s. And I love most of the stuff that he does, and the fact that he pulled off one of the best superhero films of all time, and it still holds up after, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times watching it is just incredible. So the Avengers, huge surprise. Walking Dead, and I said the whole franchise because on the way to Comic-Con this year, I got the omnibus of all the Walking
Dead.
Did
you really?
Yeah, I got all of them. I got them all. Wow. They had them on sale Comic-Con weekend for a Comic-Con exclusive. So I downloaded all the Walking Dead comics on the Comixology app.
Oh, to your iPad?
Yeah, to my iPad. And I read all of them. And, you know, it's a very depressing and dark tale, but it's amazing and so well written. And Kirkman's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
And then the show went insane this year. This new season has just been incredible. It's been so good. And then the game comes out from Telltale, and the game blows me away. So it really is just an amazing franchise. And, you know, even though thematically there's a lot of similarities between the television series and the comic and the game, they're all so different, and they all kind of stand on their own. So I'm really impressed. And, you know, I love zombies. So.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, next is, again, probably not a huge surprise, but Borderlands 2. Like I said last week when Ash was on the show, I put in a lot of hours into this game, and I have 2 level 50s. And I could, if I really wanted to, I could sit down and play through it again, no problem. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's still DLC coming out, and the fact that, you know, I think in terms of shooting, it's almost a perfect experience. I mean, I have very little to complain about. So it's great multiplayer. There's no lag. I think the story's a lot of fun. The writing's really sharp. The music is incredible. It is just, for $60, I don't know if you can get a better entertainment experience than The Walking Dead. Next on my list, I just put podcasts because I've been, you guys know this, but I don't know if the listeners know this, but I've been listening to podcasts for, you know, a while now. And I found some new ones this year that I've really grown to love a lot. And I drive a lot for my job. So I'm going to give like quick shout outs to some of the podcasts I've been listening to.
Cool.
And these are things that actually, you know, in all honesty, I wake up very early for work in the morning. And this is like, sadly, one of the highlights of my day is my drive to and from work because I get to listen to great podcasts. So I've been listening to, of course, Reset Transmission weekly. And those guys put out a great show. Very fun.
And ladies. Very,
yes. I didn't mean guys literally.
Oh, okay.
Like men's. I didn't say men's.
Yeah.
The man and ladies of the Reset Transmission, great podcast, a lot of fun. I just started listening to one a couple months ago called Pointless with Kevin Pereira, and Kevin used to
be
on
Attack. Are you digging that?
It's a love hate thing. I love Kevin. I love Kevin, but it's very like
shock jockey.
Yeah, it's a little shock jockey.
Because I agree with you. I like Kevin a lot, and I like listening to him talk, but it is a little shock jockey.
That was a great way of putting it. I was going to say aggro, but it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
Kind of just like him screaming into the mic sometimes, and you're just like, oh, wow, I don't know what's going on. But he's really sharp, and he's really he's a smart, smart guy, and I like a lot of his guests. They're guests that we would never, ever have on for a variety of reasons, so I like to hear, you know, what they have to say. And it's entertaining, so I've listened to Pointless. I'm still listening to Nerdist. I cut down on my Nerdist a bit, and I only really listen to the guests that I really want to listen to. So I'm not listening to every episode. But he put out some incredible stuff this year, like fucking Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. That episode is fantastic.
Tom Hanks' episode of Nerdist is like, you cannot get a better 2-hour podcast ever. Yeah. Like, even his rapport with Tom Hanks is just incredible. So, like, you know, love Chris Hardwick or hate him, he has set the bar incredibly high for podcasts across the land. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I still really love and appreciate Nerdist.
Mel Brooks, too.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm interrupting your list.
I know. No, it's totally fine. Like, I was totally, I saw Tom Hanks, I thought it was a joke. I was like, really? Like,
good Lord.
And the other is, Team Banana Punch, High Command, which is a fun Nate from Reset Transmission and Denise and Stephanie. They have a podcast that launched a little bit ago, and they had they're podcast vets, but they started a new one that is just kind of a lighthearted look on gaming where they typically focus on like a singular topic, and they talk about it for like a, you know, an hour and a half. But it's a lot of fun. It makes me laugh a lot. And they are, good at what they do, so I like that one a lot. And then I went back and I started listening to the Hopcast, the Hey Ash, What You Play In podcast, which is really, like, I love just listening to Anthony and Ash talk about games, and it's nice on my drive. So
awesome.
Those I've been listening to. And then last on my list for things that I love this year, I didn't realize you could put conventions on the list, but I definitely added conventions. That it's kind of sad, but conventions are usually the highlights of my year, because I get
to see. They are a lot of fun.
Should be sad.
I see a lot of the people that I interact with a lot on Twitter, and you know, make new friends and see all the things I really love to see. It is really like going to
it's like a fantasy land. You know, it's like magic. Oh, video games everywhere, comics, celebrities, what's going on?
And cosplay and all sorts of cool stuff. So I love conventions, and I love meeting you listeners and folks at conventions as well. So that is definitely top of my list. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Excellent. Cool. Well, let's see. Where are we?
Two left. Eric.
At EChap33 says, number one, Mass Effect 3. Number two, Halo 4. Number three, Avengers. Number four, Game of Thrones. Hey-o. Can't think of a fifth, so Mass Effect 3, since it's so awesome. I haven't really been watching a lot of Game of Thrones, but my wife, like, is obsessed with it, for sure.
Yeah. My wife is getting into Game of Thrones, the TV show on HBO.
Yes.
But I have not partaken yet. I know Ash, you liked it a lot, right?
So good.
Yeah, I know. I need to watch it. I need to put down my distaste from the book and just watch the show and deal with it.
So, Matt, is Halo 4 on your list this year?
No.
Oh.
No. It's a solid good game, but it's not top of the tops. I think these are in order. I'm going to go ahead and read them in order, but I have a sort of 10.5 because it just happened and all the talk of podcasts made me think of it. The Totally Rad Show, which is a show that I have watched since it started, since literally episode one, which was in like 2006. They've been going for a really long time. Actually ended 3 weeks ago or a month ago. And I just wanted to say that show was really great. And if you never got a chance to listen to it, they're of course all still up on Revision 3. And I highly still recommend it. Do you have like a secret reason that you know, or are you asking?
No, I honestly don't know.
Oh, I think they honestly are just, they're all like moving on. I mean, I think for one, Revision 3 got bought by Discovery Network. And I think when that happened, I'm sure all the shows kind of got options for what would happen next. And I think that maybe they all looked at their lives and said, hey, I think we're ready to grow as whatever. I know Trachtenberg's doing like full on directing now. Jeff Cannata is acting a ton, and he's still doing the Weekend Confirmed, which is also another great podcast. And then Alex Albrecht is doing like a bunch of things, and I think directing is one of them too. I think he's also directing or producing. So I think they all kind of hit the industry, because Trachtenberg like couldn't even talk about movies anymore because he's part of the Directors Guild. So when they would do reviews and stuff, he would just kind of hang out and ask questions. He didn't actually review movies. So but yeah, it was weird because when it ended, they did an old school episode, which is like what we do, which is an hour and a half long kind of show. And it was weird to watch, man. And when I finished, I was like, it was one of those like, damn, I'm never gonna, like, that was my morning thing. I'd get in with my coffee and I'd turn on the Totally Rad Show, I'd watch it for 15 minutes in the morning, and then like that was the kickoff of my day. It was weird to have that end. So,
well, not to cut you off, but tonight is the last Attack of the Show. They filmed their last show today.
Oh, wow.
And that was my nightly tradition for a couple of years when I was in college. I would, you know, lay there with my then girlfriend, which is weird. Now wife, but you know, she didn't die or anything. We would watch Attack of the Show and laugh a whole lot back in the day. Wow. So now that's gone too. So yeah.
So to my full list of the good things, I just thought I'd mention that because it did just happen that we were talking podcasts. Number 10 is the Geek and Sundry channel on YouTube. It has kind of taken over the spot for Totally Rad Show a little bit, but they are constantly putting out like just awesome content. For one, the Guild is great still. But you know, written by a kid, The Flog, Tabletop with Will Wheaton, who usually annoys the living hell out of me, and I like watching Tabletop a lot. What else? They're doing some new original shows. They've brought in some other podcasts from different networks into their under their kind of wing and channel. So it's really awesome. I highly recommend Geek and Sundry on YouTube. It's a good shot, good like short video stuff to watch.
Sweet.
Number 9 is Strike Fleet Omega, which took over my mobile gaming life.
I thought about that one.
A very long time. That game owned me for a long time on the train.
It is quite good.
It was very good.
I wish they would make more of that. After I finished it, I was like, I want more stuff now.
Because you kind of finish it and then you're just like, okay, now I'm done. Like, there's not much else to continue this game with.
Yeah, for sure.
Number 8 is Saga, which is a comic book by Brian K. Vaughan, who wrote Why the Last Man, and it is phenomenal. You can get it in trade now, and I highly, highly recommend it. And as a side note to Saga, because this is how I read it, the other thing I was going to add is digital comics, which really entered my life heavily this year, and I like them a lot. It has reduced the amount of boxes that are stacking up in my bedroom currently.
Good call.
Number 7, of course, is conventions, Comic-Con. I did not get the wonderful PAX Prime experience that you guys got, which bums me out still to this day. But Comic-Con and PAX East, and most importantly, Nerd Machine at Comic-Con, which was my daily hangout when I was there.
They killed it.
Just a bastion of awesomeness, essentially, to go and relax and have a beer or a sandwich. And it was just amazing. So Nerd Machine is the highlight, but conventions in general, I just love going, and I want to do a lot more this coming year. Number 6 is our buddy Jimmy Henson.
Mm-hmm.
Because having a legit... So Scott and I played music. We've mentioned it a billion times on the podcast, and, you know, we were okay at what we did. And I am a picky asshole when it comes to music, like extremely picky. And when Ash was like, yeah, Jimmy Henson wants to do a song, I was like, it could be awesome, or I could turn into like a picky asshole. And then I heard it, and it's awesome. I get excited every time I hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
So it's just so cool that he did it, and we thank him, you know, as often as we possibly can. But Jimmy Henson, definitely.
Go give him your money.
Yes.
Do that. Buy
giant circles.
Yeah.
He's working on all sorts of cool shit too.
Yeah. Number 5 is my Nexus 7. It is my daily buddy. It rides on the train with me.
Technology.
Oh, yeah. I read on it. I play games on it. I watch video on it on occasion. I mean, it's with me all the time. It's in my bag every day. So I love it. Love it. Love it. Number 4 is Newsroom.
Yeah.
HBO. That show.
It is good.
I was excited about it every week, you know? I loved all the characters. I know
and
people.
Munn's really good in it, too. And that was surprising. Not surprising, but relieving. You know?
Yeah, it's great. And just one of those just awesome things.
And just think of how awesome season 3 is going to be because of all the terrible fucking shit that happened this year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, good Lord.
Wait, season 3? I thought there was only...
they're 2 years ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're 2 years ahead.
Gotcha.
Number 3, and I know you guys are going to be surprised that this is only number 3, but I have a reason for it, is Mass Effect 3 and multiplayer.
Okay.
My reason being... And I've finally gotten over it. I'm finally ready to revisit Mass Effect. As you guys know, I got really tired of it, and I was really overloaded with it for a while.
And you also fell burden to that whole thing about trying to avoid spoilers, and you were like forcing yourself to rush through the game.
I played Mass Effect 3 in a day and a half. I played the entire game, I think, right? Or 2 days. I stayed up all night, like 2 days in a row. I played it in the shortest amount of time that I think was physically capable by me. And I think that just burned me out on Mass Effect entirely for months. I think I didn't want to talk about the game. And then we would, of course, talk about it all the time. And I loved it, but it just was like, I just was such an overload of Mass Effect. And now I've actually lately been thinking, man, I kind of want to play through the whole series again and do FemShip this time.
Yeah, do FemShip with the new DLCs.
Yeah, that's what I kind of want to have, because now I have all the DLC. I want to do all of it. I want to start at Mass Effect 1 and go all the way through again. I think I'm ready to replay through the whole series.
Do it.
And take my time with Mass Effect 3 instead of like plowing through it in a day and a half. But Mass Effect 3 is number 3. And the multiplayer has been awesome. And I really love getting into that and playing that with you guys. And then the multiplayer night, you know, I mean, Mass Effect 3 is just, it encompasses so much more than just the game for us, I think, as a podcast. And I really It's awesome. So
it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, the community has been fucking awesome to us, and
yeah, it's just been amazing. So number two is a game that came as a surprise to me because I was not even thinking about this until it came out, and then I bought it literally just for the site, and that's Dishonored.
Nice.
I did not buy that game thinking like, man, can't wait to play Dishonored. Like, it wasn't a build-up game for me. It wasn't something that I was dying to get. I literally got it because I think Scott and I were texting, and I said to him, well, if you want to get a game, get XCOM because it's multiplayer and you can play with Ash, and I'll get Dishonored, and I'll play through Dishonored and see how it goes. And then it owned me for like 2 weeks. I just sat there every night, was getting on and playing Dishonored, and like, I just loved it. It just hit right in that spot that
you
I need.
You are all about the stealth, man.
Well, because it's like, you know, there's different kinds of stealth in different games, and it is very stealth from like Thief or from Metal Gear. It's like that kind of stealth, and that's the stealth games I love mm-hmm. that I play a ton of. So
you're very patient.
I am ridiculously yeah. patient, like to the point where I will sit and watch guys walk their pattern 3 or 4 times before I decide to make a move. But that's what I like, you know. So loved it. It was awesome. Number two game of the year. And number one, just rewatched it, The Avengers. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, everything a nerdy. I was going through my comics tonight because one of our friend's kids is really into Spider-Man. And I pulled out all my Spider-Man comics, which is not a lot because I was not super into Spider-Man. But I pulled out all my Spider-Man comics and I'm going to send them to him as like a Christmas gift. Like, hey, I'm never going to read these again. They're worth literally like a quarter each. So here, have some Spider-Man comics. You know, he's a little kid. He'll be stoked on it. But as I was doing it, I was going through all this stuff and I saw all the Avengers I had, all the Iron Man comics I had, like all the... I had some Thor. I didn't have as much Thor as probably you did, Ash, but I had some Thor, and then, you know, I had all the X teams and everything else, and I just was like, the Avengers, more than any other comic book movie that I feel like has come out, just nailed how to write a team and how to do a comic and how to,
yeah.
like, it just felt perfect. And I just rewatched it and loved every minute of it. So Avengers number one for me this year was just an amazing experience. So
yeah, I your list was damn good. I agree with all those.
Incredible. Awesome.
Well, let's finish up. We got one last Natalie Stumpy Nat. This is fitting. She's got the last list for us this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The good last friend, answer to an Aquato. And it is my top five for 2012, Mass Effect 3, Batwoman, The Dark Knight Rises, Borderlands 2, and my Batman Snuggie.
Hey, yo.
I love those Batman Snuggies.
It's awesome.
And shout out to Natalie, who has done a lot of writing for the site this year.
Yes.
It's really awesome to have you a part of this family.
And it helps so much. Yeah. Trust us.
Really means a lot to us.
Absolutely.
So this is it, guys.
Cool.
It's sad.
What do we do now? Anything you're looking forward to next year?
Oh my gosh, next year's gonna be crazy.
I know.
Console on the horizon.
Let's cut it off to the first half of next year. So like, let's not talk about, you know, like consoles, next generation consoles. Okay. But how about in the short term?
PAX
East is like, I'm like counting the fucking moments to PAX East.
Beyond excited.
I'm like, super excited for PAX East. Seeing everybody, that's probably actually top of my list.
Well,
above, like, you know, running around doing press stuff, I'm really excited to just see everybody.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. You know, it is nice. Like, you have these silly, you know, interactions with people all year long, and then every once in a while you actually get to see them and high five and have silly interactions in person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. PAX East, games coming out. I mean, I guess the first half of the year is what? Dead Space?
Dead Space, yeah.
Tomb Raider. I'm really excited for Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Tomb Raider looks good.
It looks really good.
It looks good. I didn't love what I played, but it does look good.
I enjoyed it. It was fun.
I know.
We'll see.
It'll probably be good.
Right. Well, it's been quite a year, guys.
It has. It's been an awesome year.
I've had all kinds of interviews. 86
is a good number, you know? Yeah. It's a good number to end.
86 that.
No, that. It's like Agent 86, like Maxwell Smart from Get Smart.
Yeah.
We have had a lot of good interviews. Thank you to all those people too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who took the time to talk to us. That's awesome.
It's been an interesting year for the interviews, huh?
It has. You've worked your butt off, sir.
It has been quite good.
I'm still in shock that people say yes when I ask. It's like, hey, you want to come on this podcast? People are like, yeah, why not? And you're like, oh, well,
you're a charming dude.
I do send them, you know, all sorts of prizes that I don't tell you guys about. Like, if you agree,
yeah,
I'll send you this.
Is it Scott Nudes?
Oh, it is. Scott Nude is a mermaid.
Is this mermaid picture going to be on the front of our press kit now?
It is. That's a good idea.
That's a terrible idea.
That's a fantastic
idea, you guys.
Starring Scott.
Gross.
It's beautiful.
Oh, man.
All right, let's wrap this up before things get too
far. Oh, wrap it up. Get it? It's Christmas.
Oh, hey-o. Zing. Any closing remarks?
No, we do have some shout-outs this week. First of all, we wanted to thank Ashley Birch for being on episode 85, and it was a great episode. It was a lot of fun, and she was
good discussion, man. Really good discussion.
Yeah, she was a blast. So I'm really glad she came on, and hopefully, actually, you know what? I actually already asked her to come back.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm already working. Now she has some stuff in the works, and I asked, you know, when your stuff actually gets revealed, do you want to come back? And she's like, sure. So she'll be back in the future, 2013 sometime, to talk to us and hang out some more and tell more stories of near-death experiences and stuff. And I wanted to give another shout-out to Cosby Sweater, who's Allie Gertz. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but she actually won the Arrested Development walk-on contest because they're in the process of filming the new season of Arrested Development. And one of the contests was, we'll do something and put it up on YouTube, and then we'll pick a couple winners. And the winners of this contest get to be on the new season of Arrested Development. And she's like insanely fucking talented. And so she won because she's insanely talented. And she got to go on the new set of Arrested Development and be on the next season. So that's awesome.
That's
and she also actually just, I guess she's in the process of or just finished recording the album that she helped get funded on Indiegogo. So
nice.
Awesome.
She's having an awesome year.
Sounds like it.
Cool.
So,
well, I just want to shout out to you guys and to Hillary, who's not here anymore.
Yes.
But, shout out to us, you guys.
It's kind of awesome thinking back that starting in Ash's cave and then upgrading to my brighter cave and then you know, now we're all kind of separated but still figure out how to do this every week. It's awesome, and it's my favorite part of every week. So I'm really glad we're still doing it.
You. I'm there with you, man. It's a lot of fun.
And let's keep it going into 2013 as long as the world doesn't end on Friday.
Well, here's some next year, you guys.
Next year. So today on the rundown, so this podcast we're
talking about
a, oh Jesus.